Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in the darkness we may not stumble, and in your truth we may find freedom, and in your spirit we may discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's scripture is from 1 Corinthians 12:1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. It's my true joy and pleasure to introduce and welcome our beloved and most esteemed elder, Bob Klandrud, who's been carrying the chinupa for over 40 years, the sacred pipe of his people, and has been an elder, a teacher, a guide, an advocate, a leader, not only for his people, but for all humanity, because the Dakota people believe in Metaquias and that we are all related. I was trained theologically in Western institutions and thought that Western Christianity was the right way to approach and worship Jesus. What I've come to discover is that we've basically been under 1,700 years of gaslighting since Constantine, who was a pagan priest to his very last day, co-opted the Christian faith and made it into the operating system, the OS, of the empire of his day. It wasn't until after seminary I had a little bit of time away from this massive backlog of books I had to read that I started to get into Taoist philosophy, which is more kind of a, Taoism actually means the way, right? And Tao, the way. And Christianity was originally called the way of Jesus. And it was in understanding the way of the people in ancient East Asia that I began to see what the Bible meant by the way of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The way starts first, not the truth. When we have a certain spirit, a certain way of carrying ourselves in the world, a certain way of understanding how we belong in the world, then the truth emerges. But in Western Christianity, you start with the truth, which is why it doesn't make any difference what way we carry ourselves, and which is why the way is just so wrong. And thankfully, through Jim Baer, one of our esteemed native elders of our church, we have gotten to meet Bob, who has been Jim Baer's personal mentor for many years. And Bob has, for whatever reason, loved our community, had great affection for all of us, have cared for us and prayed for us like a father to this congregation. And we have learned so much from the way that he carries himself, the way he honors his own tradition, and the way he honors Jesus, someone that Bob esteems and worships in his own way, and has given us insight into our own ancient Christian path, apart from the dominant lens through which we interpret Christianity, Constantinian Christianity. The Reformation, I mean, we're a Presbyterian church, which means that we are a legacy of the Reformation, didn't really reform the church all that much. Because Luther and Calvin were both acolytes of St. Augustine, which means that we went from the Thomistic Christianity of the Roman Catholic Church, Thomas Aquinas, to the Augustinian Christianity of the Reformers. That is to say, we went from interpreting the Christian faith from Aristotle to back to Plato, Aristotle's master. So Western Christianity is basically a derivative of Plato and Aristotle. Greek thinkers, dissociated, detached, kind of crazy, 400 years before Jesus came on this earth. And why are we worshiping Plato and Aristotle? Can anyone answer me that? All that my education in conventional seminary did is push me more toward these ancient Greek philosophers that had nothing to do with this religion of the indigenous people of the ancient Near East. So unfortunately, because of the extent of our gaslighting, we have to receive the wisdom from other places to get back into our own tradition. I mean, that's how badly the gaslighting has been for 1,700 years without reprieve. So that's what we're trying to do here at Church of All Nations, is worship God in Jesus Christ by the true spirit of God's universe with all our heart, soul, and mind, unadulterated from the corruption of any worldly philosophy, west, east, north, or south. And we're just grateful for this day. We honor this day every year in light of Dr. King's great teaching, his insights, his faith, his witness, the life that he gave for the truth and for the liberation of us all, and reflect on the fundamental sin in America, that of the division by race, which, as we've seen in the last couple of years, has only been made more raw. Some of us, we've always known that this is an unbelievably racist country, and a whole bunch of us thought that that may have be coming to an end with Obama's election, but that's just wishful thinking. We've seen the backlash to that and seen the true ugly nature of this country. So we're just going to have to do better than having progressive beliefs, right? We have to change at the molecular level because we are racist to the core. And this world will not get better unless we're converted from our very cells at the atomic level. And so all of us are sinners and complicit in that way, and we're going to have to enter deeply into the way and spirit of Jesus Christ if there's going to be any healing or any justice in the world at all. And it begins with us. And so we're so grateful that our elder Bob has agreed to come and share some of the wisdom of his 65 years walking this earth and as a mentor to us all here. Elder Bob.
Oh, hey, honey, wash day or yat day. Good morning, people. That's what I said. It's an honor to be here. It's always an honor to come to this place of worship and see all your faces, young and old. I come here as a common man. In our language, that word is ikche wichasha. Wichasha is a word for man. Ikche is just one of the common people, which I am happy and honored to be. I wasn't always able to say that. And I can stand here today because of the love of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, and the love of you people that have embraced me for so long now. I've come to know you as a family, a prayerful family in our Lakota, Dakota way. We are people of families. A lot of people ask, what's your clan? What's your animal? Other tribes, Anishinaabe brother, Elder Brian, John, he's of Anishinaabe. They are people of the clans. We are people of the Teochpi families. So I consider you a prayerful Teochpi. Wechakbe oyate tunkashila wopeda henatawahe tunkashila wakan tipi wakan tunkashila Jesus Christ wopeda. So I want to apologize in that I'm not on the top of my game today. And isn't that the way it goes when we're trying to be all together and have it all together? Maybe a sickness might take us off that edge we thought we had. So I have to stand before you, a broken, humble man who's coming off of a pneumonia. And my mind is still kind of convoluted by all the snot in my head. So if you bear with me and forgive me. It's an honor to stand in this place. This is not usual for me in a format of being with the people and praying. In a church is where I accept this. Our format is a circle we use to bring the unity together amongst us. But I have good news today. The sun is shining. The air is fresh. We have clean water to drink. And we have this wonderful Mother Earth we stand upon. So I don't stand here in a position as a preacher, minister, pastor, theologian, philosopher. I come to you as probably the lowliest man you're going to meet. I'm a laborer. I'm a recovering drug and alcoholic, 40 years. I live a day at a time by the grace of God. I was saved from the despair of alcoholism and drug addiction by the Holy Spirit of Christ that came to me in my darkest hour at 25 years old in 1976. When I had lived to that point, drinking and drugging since I was 7 years old, started huffing glue and gas, anything to make my mind numb, my body numb, for the pain I was experiencing in my young life. By the time I was 25, I didn't believe in God. I didn't go to church. I'd been beat down at that point by a lot of the social injustices that the people of color experience. My life as a Native was the only idea I had of being Native, but is the narrative we read in the books. So I became what I thought I should be as a Native man, which was a mean individual, savage, hostile. That's what they used to call us, and I kind of became that. Rode motorcycles, I robbed people for money for drugs, and now I have to carry that choice and actions I made through my life. So as a result of salvation, in a time when I didn't want to live, I didn't know how to live, how to be a human being in the skin I have. The people I saw weren't living the way I thought that we should live. I wanted to die. I didn't know how to live. And I put a gun in my mouth at that time. I made the decision to pull the trigger. The pin hit the shell. The gun didn't go off. I had a Chinupa in 1976 given to me by a couple elders from Pipestone, Chuck Derby and another man. I didn't know how to use it. I thought you put marijuana in it. Because that's what I've been told. Hey, Chief, you smoking that wacky tobacco in your peace pipe today? And those were the things I had. I had to laugh at them because I really didn't know. I did that. It didn't stay together, the stem shot out like a magnet, and I knew I defiled something very sacred, very holy. At that time, I had no peace in my life. I had no serenity in my life. I had no hope for a future. I was merely existing each day, trying to get numb, just to exist. And that wasn't the kind of life that I thought we should be living, although I didn't know where to go or what to do. At that time, my darkest hour, when I felt the flames of hell burning me outside, I felt the flames of hell inside, and I felt like I was standing in this fire burning. And I got down on my knees because an image from my childhood came to my mind. And it was a picture that my grandmother had put on my bedroom wall. At another dark moment of my life, when I was a young boy, 6 years old, my girlfriend died in my arms. She had fallen on an arrow, and I was holding her. As I pulled the arrow out, her blood came out of her, and I breathed her last breath into my face. As our parents were, mothers were coming up the stairs, I was sitting at the top of the stairs holding her, and all her blood shot down the stairs on our parents coming up. I think that was the time I gave up on there was no God. I couldn't stop the blood. I couldn't revive life into her, and her life left her. At that moment, I thought there is no God. Coupled with all the abuse nightly and those byproducts of drinking and alcoholism, two people trying to love each other, my mother and my father, suffering from their traumas, would engage in that abuse and fighting. So that was a stage that was set for me. At that time, at 25, I looked out the window and I saw a light. And I prayed to that. In that moment of darkness, that image of the picture my grandmother hung in my bedroom at 6 years old was an image of Jesus Christ with a lantern in a garden. And that image was so profound because it was a beautiful doorway of a nice cottage. And there were gardens leading up to it. And this handsome man in white robes with a lantern knocking on the door. And it occurred to me at that moment, what I didn't know is that I had to invite that spirit into my life. Because even as powerful as the Creator is, we got a free will. That's what makes us two-legged. We got a choice at any moment, now, in the future. The past is gone. And the ways we fell down wasn't meant to be a life sentence. It was a teaching moment. So at that moment, I had to forgive myself. I didn't know how or where to meet Christ. But then the image of the door showed me that he had a burning sacred heart on his chest that was bright and light. And it said, please invite me into your home. And I thought that would be this house of worship, the house I was living in. I didn't understand that our bodies are temples and that there is a seat of your soul. And that, from an indigenous perspective, we call the Hochoka. The sacred center of our being is our heart. And there's a mind in your heart, just like the one between our ears. And there's ears and eyes in your heart, just like these two ears and eyes. It's our responsibility to find our way to that space, that center, and to sit there and view the world and ask for that help. But there's also a doorway in that heart. And there's no doorknob in that picture when the Son of God was knocking on the door. The light of the world, that lantern represented in the darkness. There's no doorknob on the door. And from that place of despair, when I was on my knees in my darkest hour, that image in my mind when I was asking for help and I didn't know what to do. So from a six-year-old perspective and a 25-year-old man, I got on my knees and I asked that spirit of light to come into my heart. And there's a doorway that I opened, and that spirit came into my heart. It was golden, like the sunshine. It wasn't hurtful. It was very comforting. It was fuzzy. It was like being tickled and hugged and held. When that spirit came to me, it came into me, and it said, I am the Christ. I am the light. And I heard your call. And that spirit brought my spirit back to me and gave me hope. So for 40 years, a day at a time, I've lived by the grace of God. I know the Holy Spirit of Christ personally in my life, the way it came to me. And I know what grace is. So I stand before you as a common man and a sinner. And to your faces, to your sacred hearts, to your lives, which means so much to me, you are the world to me, each and every one of you. And I stand here in solidarity, not above you, not below you, but beside you. And I stand here in the presence of much wisdom and elders. Anybody a day older than 65 is my elder. In our way, we like to say, I apologize to you, my elders, for speaking in front of you at this time. Some of you have taken years of schooling and in your personal lives taken upon yourselves the mantle of a holy walk with Christ into your life, which is a big commitment, and it's a big way to walk in your life. So before you, studied theologians, ordained ministers, doctors, and for those like myself who are common laborers, the salt of the earth, I want to say I apologize, but I am grateful to stand beside you through this life. So in an Indian way, I come to you as a common man. I'm using these English words as best I can. The language of our people I speak is broken. I know little of the Dakota, Lakota language. And so as common man, I got to realize my strengths and my weaknesses and to understand myself and accept the realities of how life has come to me. And to use those strengths to stand here before you in a good way in respect of the weaknesses and the ways I fall down, I'm well aware of. But I appreciate your insight and your input to those parts of me that I'm not aware of. I need you, and I'm here for you in that capacity. Coming to this day, and just feeling so I can't do it. You know, have you ever been in a position where you're asked to do something and you get to that point where I don't think I can do it today. I just can't stand in front of people convoluted the way I am. Not on top of my game. I couldn't find my ribbon shirt and these other things I wanted to stand here in that way. But I can stand here as a good man with a good heart, grateful to be in your presence, in your holy house of worship, which has stood here for so long in this capacity. It's imbued with the energy of your prayers. And I feel honored and privileged to come here on these Sunday mornings where all you congregation come together. And what makes this place particularly comforting, healing, and sacred to me is that you come broken together with it all going on, without a clue, with sickness. You come from your homes where your children may be there sick, to find strength and refuge, not only in the Lord, in God, but in one another. Just in seeing your faces, sometimes I can see, oh, that person has had a hard week, but they're still here, smiling the best they can, bringing their best self, and coming forward with the faith that it's going to be all right. Because when enlightenment happens, and it can happen in a twinkling of an eye, young or old, you still have to do laundry the next day. So we are two-legged, and I stand before you as a two-legged with the things I use as a native man to find that pathway to God, to find direction every day to live my life. So in the time I sobered up, when Christ came to me by the grace of God, I've decided, and I told my mother, Mom, I'm going to pray Indian for that half, more than half of me I've always been ashamed of. My mother at that time cried, and she said, Bob, I can't tell you who we are as Native people because it was taken from me in the boarding school of St. Francis, where she told me stories of daily beatings, mouth washed out with bars of Pell's naphtha, soap, and the terrible things that occurred there to Native kids. And I said, that's okay, Mom. I met the Holy Spirit of Christ, and he told me to stay on the path of the Indian masters. And at that time, deciphering a vision is difficult. So on this day, the good news is the sun is shining, the air is fresh. We can choose how to look at it, you know. And I brought with me these things I've used for these years of sobriety and on this walk and journey I've taken that's been so much more meaningful, facing life without having to anesthetize my body, mind, and spirit to greet the day. To greet the day with whatever I have, whether it's pain or joy, it's all human experience. And my life has been so much richer and fuller coming to know you. And I believe I was guided here by that Holy Spirit because of you people and how strong you are as a congregation. And it's not the numbers. It's the unity you bring to each other, to yourself, and to the community. It's the holiness of all the children that have been born here that matter. Somebody told a story of a great flood for our people long ago. They had to get to the high ground right away. And they left all their belongings in their teepees. And they were scurrying up to the high ground. And when they got there, the waters were coming around them. And one of the elders exclaimed, we forgot our chinupa. They had no sacred pipe. This sacred chinupa is my life. I don't own it. It's a stick and a rock. To us, it's the most sacred thing we can carry. It's difficult to carry. When I made a commitment to pick this chinupa up, was because it was hard for me to live at that time. I suffered from PTSD. I suffer from seasonal affective disorder and a trauma of childhood of abuse. So I feel I'm richer for that because I know the depth of spirit, and that gives me as much reason to grow the other way. Because wherever there is great darkness, there is also an equal and opposite amount of light right next door to it. So however holy I might feel as a two-legged, I know that there's that much wicked and evil that exists in me. It's a part of me. It's a part of the human experience. I choose to embrace that part. I don't look away from it anymore. I'm also convoluted on this wonderful day we call Martin Luther King Day. The vision of a man, a black man, who had also had a past. I don't know if many of you know of his past, but like Gandhi, who brought a message as well to the world of nonviolent resistance to the oppression. And like Moses, and like Joseph, they had something, like Jim Bear Jacobs, like Brian John and Pastor Chin, Paul Moses, Laura, Ann Tiller, Sierra, Vidal, all the faces of UIC, you've all had a dream. At some point in your life, you've had a very profound dream that brought you here. In the words, when I try to think of something profound to say to you wonderful people, giving me this opportunity to stand before you, I come up short. I have to use the words I've heard from other people. I have my own mind, which I'm honored and proud to use. But that man said, I had a dream. This young lady singing the praises of her soul this morning so soulfully inspired me, where tears came from my eyes, from joy, from my soul is full of love and joy. That man said, I had a dream. All of you, men and women, young and old. Half of our life is spent in sleep. It's a reality we live with. Some of us hit the pillow, and the next thing you know, your eyes are open and it's morning. And you're running for the shower and the coffee and the kids. Haven't had time to separate your dream time out from your wake time yet. But sometimes those visions, pay attention to them. Maybe they aren't meant for you. Maybe they're meant for the world. It's hard to put into words those things from a vision or a dream. And so I honor those people, those two-leggeds, you, my friends and relatives, that can put into words. Pastor Jin does it every Saturday or Sunday here. Those things that are hard to put into words and explain, that's a vision, when you can extrapolate from the greatness of all and put it in a comprehensive way for human ears to understand and implement it in your life. So the way you live your life is a reflection of that vision. But to share with your sacred voice in the words from your heart and your beautiful minds that vision, so other people might have that picture in their heart, in their mind's eye, a blueprint of how to live life. That's what Christ gave us. That's what all the holy people, Buddha gave us, Allah gave us. One God, many names, many paths. All the wars have been fought over trying to get somebody else to walk the way we're walking. Subjugation and these things we do to each other, because it frightens us to not be able to think that way, perhaps. So I stand before you, Ikchewi Chasha, on this beautiful Sunday morning, the day you've set as solace for your week to gain strength mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually to endure the future yet to come, the next week. So we awaken from our sleep. We hit the ground running. The kids need something, and you got to do this and that, and rarely have time to set forth a schedule of the events for the day at hand. From a Native perspective, what's helped me so much, and I apologize if this burning herb we call sage, Pajutahota, affects anybody. I use it as salvation. It's been a survival for me. I call upon the spirit of this wonderful plant medicine to help me. So I'm evoking the spirit of a living thing, creator made, God made on this earth. Our ancestors over millennia have studied these plants from whatever culture you come from. And the beauty I find of Church of All Nations is the diversity of the lives you bring as the people you are to decide to come together in a harmonious way and put our hearts, minds, and souls together to find strength in that collective. I stand before you with this chinupa I've carried, this man, Amos Owen, Western boy. He carved it with his hands out of a prayer. The image of a buffalo on here, he used a nickel and he made a perfect little buffalo, which is a symbol of us, of hope and salvation in that way. The Creator gave us a creature so beautiful that could sustain our lives, be clothes, be tools, be homes for the people. And so we honor the buffalo in life and death that way as a salvation for sustaining our lives, the way we give thanks for fresh water and fresh air. And so some of the basic elemental things of daily life are the foundations of an indigenous life and mind style, mindset. So I don't stand here before you trying to impress you with any theological wisdom, any spiritual magic I could bring to you. I do this to survive. I do this for your children's children's children, that there might be an indigenous person in their lives in the future that can help them connect to the natural order in the world around them, the way indigenous peoples around this Mother Earth have done for millennia. So when I stand here in this way as a common man, we're working with the laws of nature. So God made laws of nature, and there's laws of man we live by. So we can live in a society that's not constantly in chaos. The Creator made the laws of nature, which we've come to understand in some respects. And the red people were given the instruction and the charge of keeping charge of those natural orders in the way of connecting with this life around us. Emma Marie Page asked me, what is the theme of your talking this morning? I had to say it's a word you hopefully know, and maybe it's you get tired, or aren't there some other words we can work on too? It's Mitakweasan. You know that. You've heard it. Mitakuyeasan, which means that we are all related. It's a very profound word for us. And as a foundation for my existence, to know that I am one of you, it changed my life. Because in my dark hour, when I tried to take my life, and God wouldn't have it, and I had to find a way, and that Christ Spirit came to me, it said, live a day at a time and love yourself, that you might love others. And when I came away from that experience, I put the gun down and I gave it to my stepfather and said, get rid of it. And I stood up and I had hope. And the light that had come in me left me with such a profound feeling of love. Tears just flowed from my eyes of joy. And it lasted for several days in a very unusual way that was so comforting. I come to understand that perhaps at that young age, 25, it might have been the first time in my life I had chosen to love myself. And that was a spiritual awakening. Some people might take it for granted if you've been taught how to love yourself and be good to yourself. And I know that you have, because I see you raising your children. And every child I've met here is so awesome, respectful, and reflective of the homes they come from. The words they hear at the dinner table, the comments that are made while viewing television programs or reading the papers that move us in the confines being able to stay in our homes and say what we want for fear that the world won't hear us speak our true mind, those things we probably wouldn't say in public. And so I stand here today, mildly convoluted by an image I saw yesterday of a man I had stood with, and you as well, some of you people. We went to Standing Rock. His name was Nathan Phillips, an Omaha Vietnam veteran. And when we went to Standing Rock, the Holy Spirit was there. Anybody who was there, and if you weren't there, you could feel it from here, got to see, and the Creator brought that experience for the world to see. Native people have a way to stand on this Mother Earth together in solidarity, much the way your congregation does here. Non-judgmentally, and I'm standing here, and I continue to come here. For the time I have come here, I have never seen a sideways eye. I have never so much detected from your horror any animosity or judgment towards me. And that's rare. I've been to a lot of churches. Sometimes it's just, well, if I disturb somebody, maybe I don't want to go there because I don't want them to be uncomfortable. Never thinking about my own self or my own comfort. But I just have to say and praise on this day that the Lord made perfect how wonderful you are as a congregation and how much healing you have occurred to the world already in the times you've come together. And it just keeps getting better. And time goes by so quickly. Some of the children have grown now, become college students, grown and become married and had children of their own. But from my perspective, I see that as a testimony to the unity you bring and the strength of your prayers that ripple out from here like a rock in a pond. Each Sunday, you cast this prayer together. It ripples out from this place, kind of a beacon and a little antenna around the world through our communities locally and citywide, statewide, through this continent. And you people here at Church of All Nations go all over Mother Earth. And that effects can be felt. So you've changed this world immeasurably already. You've called from the emptiness into existence by virtue of your love and your prayers, your hopes and your struggles. Together, we're still here together, red, yellow, black, and white, in a unity of spirit, in a consolidation through the Holy Spirit. So what I was going to do is sing a song that man sang. It's one song. I want you to know this song has no words. It's a song that came together through another time of crisis, the Wounded Knee occupation in 73. And it's called the AIM song at that time, American Indian Movement. At that time, those people who stood were women first, teachers, young lady teachers, and I know some of them. And the men came behind them to hold their women up. For us, this Chinupa is a consecrated union in a way to talk to the Creator. This bowl is a woman, a weon, this rock bowl carved. It's emblematical of the blood of the people, indigenous people that were spilled on this ground in mass. Turned to stone. The stick was a living tree out there locally, an ash tree, a holy tree that gives us oxygen, shade, food, wood for our fires, our homes, food, fruit, and food. So when we put this rock and stick together in this way, only through the woman can we receive that holiness. And I'll tell you why. Because I was brought here by a woman. I stand on this Mother Earth as a child of this earth with all of you and all of other creation. As Native people, we pray first to the Creator, second to the Holy Spirit of Christ, third, to this world we live in. So we start by acknowledging the different directions that are around us. Other tribal people have beautifully crafted prayers that speak, I salute the beauty before me. I salute the beauty behind me. And I salute the beauty to the left of me and the right of me, above me and below me, to bring me to this place of my center, of my being, we call the Hochoka, which is our heart, for the reasons I've explained, some of the reasons. So when we acknowledge these directions, when we look to the west, that's the way as Dakota Lakota we look first. I've come to understand my Anishinaabe relatives, they look to the east first for the reasons they do. We look to the west because it's a place of where the sun goes down. So it's black. It's of darkness. In the west, we have a woman that stands there. Her name is Hinchila Petaskanwi, and she is called the White Buffalo Cap Woman. So I'm not going to give you Native History 101 here and bore you that way. I'm explaining so that you might know, because it's my sincere desire that you could have as much joy in knowing what I might understand in your own lives, that if you're not Native, you will never have red skin, but your blood is red. And your heart is the same. It's in the middle of you. It keeps you alive. When that stops beating, you will no longer be a two-legged. You will be what we are, spirits. So as long as we're in the skin horse bodies that carry our soul around, we're going to honor these bodies in this life, but knowing that we are so much more than these bodies. So by virtue of a woman, I was brought here. By virtue of a woman, I have this holy chinupa I have loaded and prayed with. And at this time of deliberation, on this holy day, Sunday, the Lord set forth and set aside that you might find rest from your worry work week. Although those mommies and daddies with new babies don't get much rest, as all you parents know. So we want to hold up our new lives in this place and help the moms and the dads. And what you have is a precious gift of the future. I'm going to sing this song in a native way you've seen me do before. It's all I can do. I don't have the dog pony show. I don't have the stoic, smooth cadence rhythm of a wise elder. I'm just what I am, and I'm happy being that. And like he said, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. And I think Popeye the Sailor Man said that. But we have so many children here. I was informed of this young, was it Austin or Aaron that said he learned of Martin Luther King this week? Aaron, little guy. And you look at him, you think, that guy can't even talk. I pass judgment. I think, well, that little creature just probably can't talk. Got a brilliant mind. What an awesome, wonderful observation for a young man. Young boy. And so it's from the mouth of babes sometimes we get our best inspiration. Wakayanya. Wakan. These children are holy and sacred. They have recently come from that place where they were with God. Sometimes if we listen to them and look at them, they can help us. They were brought here to help you. They were brought here to sustain life for the future. You brought them here. You partners got together. You went to a high place at that moment you conceived that child. Your spirits were entwined in that place. And that child came to you. You created it, but it has its own life, its own agenda. You say, it's of me, but I don't know it. So come to know your children's true self before they get so colonized, they start being little robots. And let that part of them flourish. And I know in this church, a spirit can be free to be who it is, chooses to be. And I see you as parents and congregation guide those young lives, whether it's a girl going to college, a young man starting a vocation, or a baby just learning how to walk or talk. We're together in this holy union of life and celebrate your dreams. Listen to your dreams, to your self-conscious. It will tell you things of yourself. It can go before you. As natives, we say that wanaji, that spirit stands out before us. Right, not too far away from our chest. And some spirit, holy people see that as a blue light, a blue dot. Some cultures, they say, ha, namaste, namaste. I greet the spirit before you, and then I see the person. We say, ha, 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 ha. Anishinaabe, buju, buju. I greet your spirit, and I greet you. That precedes you. Our spirit goes before us. When we come in a room, sometimes we've been there before we arrive. So know that you are so much more than you allow yourselves to be. And the beauty of this church is it's a safe place to let your authentic self come out. It's a supportive community of people living in what Christ really said we have to live. You are Christ-like. I see Christ within you, man, woman, and child, young and old. I respect these children's innocence and sacredness. And I try to walk in a different way as a man, as a result of learning, as a result of falling down and making bad choices. That wasn't a life sentence. That was a teaching moment. I ask forgiveness from you in this way to affirm with my voice and to the Creator, please forgive me, for I'm a broken man. I'm a humble man. I'm trying to stand and walk in a good way with the rest of life, and I just have a hard time being with people sometimes. So it's an honor to be able to come with you. And in this, I don't know what timing is, and that's why I love you preachers, men and women, who can come up, be aware of time. It's like juggling many balls and making this wonderful thing come together like a beautiful song or a poem. So I'm kind of a stop and start guy, and I bring it way around, but I will bring it together. And to stand before you, to move aside my insecurity, you don't know the anxiety attacks I've had this week of being broke. I wanted to make buffalo roast meal with fry bread and wojapi and mint tea and have it for you downstairs. I wanted to have my fine ribbon shirt and my feathers in my hair. Unfortunately, I got up late and I got what I got. And you get what you get. So I see a young man I'm so happy to see here. We got to look at our young men. Our young women are standing strong. It's your time. We will hold you up, young or old. You, we on, are the only way we can reset the moral compass of this earth. You're leading the charge around the globe for humanitarian values and a quality of life. Know that. I'm not putting anything on you. No responsibility. I just want you to know the Creator is calling you. We as men have decided to rethink just how holy and sacred you are. We are trying to rethink how we look at you and relate to you as the holiness that you have and the salvation. You are the salvation of this world. Without you, no life continues. So when I say the Chinupa is a man and a woman, from what I understand, and I don't know a lot about Christianity, but I do recall they said that man and woman in a garden had to go to a specific tree together. They didn't do it. It was a tree of life, right? There's one. So when we think of trees, we can think of them that way. The tree of life, the tree of knowledge, the tree of forbidden fruit, carnal knowledge. So we are humans, and we're driven by our human desires. And we have become complacent and weak in this day. My ancestors were so much stronger than I could even think of being. The women, the grandmas. They were a different people. So we are evolving molecularly, spiritually, physically, socially, together by virtue of 7.4 billion live souls on this Mother Earth. We have a power greater than we've ever known. There has never been 7.4 billion live souls on the planet. And we have a collective power. You see, the people are trying to not let us unify in that way. In America, you have churches where you can come together and unify. Not a lot of countries have that freedom of religion, a freedom that a man such as myself could get up here and speak his mind without fear of political retribution or being thrown in jail. In some countries, you can be thrown in prison right now for the way you choose to love somebody, what preference you have. Young people are deciding to beat, men are deciding to beat up people because they want to control what happens to a woman's body. I don't think it's right. But I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to fan the flames of negativity and animosity and feed into that caliphate and collective of energy. So that's what I'm saying. We can choose. We can choose where to put that energy, what kind of energy to send. We can choose to stand down right now, immediately, like Jinsu took 3 breaths. We unified ourselves that way. With the breath of life, we need air to live. Natives, we call the air the Waunzia. Waunzia is the breath of the Creator. That's the breath of God. We breathe it in and out. The trees expel oxygen. We give them carbon dioxide in the symbiotic relationship of life. That's what we call Mitakwayasan. So, babies are getting hungry. I think the time is getting on. I'm getting hungry. I smell food. So this chanupa I loaded on this day. And I'd like to sing a song and say a prayer. And what I was hoping and wished could happen in that a couple in this congregation I look at as a son and a daughter with their new child, Sierra and Fidel Asema Tutu, has had a new child, this baby, Zion. And I don't know if it's here today, but what I was hoping we could do is gather around in the middle and put our hands on this couple and this child. And with this loaded chanupa, I prayed that our babies will be safe and healthy, that they will have a world free of persecution they can grow up into, that when we look from here, we can see down the road 7 generations, that your grandchildren's grandchildren's children, that they will have a world where maybe there's a native person can help them reconnect with the natural order of life. So, forgive me for overusing Mitakwayasan, but if I thought there was one thing message I would bring to you today and to help you remember and to remind you that we are all related. From a native perspective, I'll tell you we're related to the four-leggeds out there, everything that four-legged, to the wingeds out there, everything that flies, to the standing nation, all the trees, to the eons, to the rock nations, to the bones of this Mother Earth, to the Mini Wachoni, which has a spirit and we cannot live without water. Water. To the air we breathe. Mitakwayasan for me has evolved, that I feel the presence of my grandmother Moon. She was out there last night, made it hard to sleep. She's so powerful. She can pull the tides of Mother Earth. She can bring forward that flow sacred from a woman. She is awesome. At night, guide your way to the darkness, saying, Grandson, I'm with you. I'm guiding your way. Don't worry. My girl, have no fear. Where I'm with you. when we think of a relationship like that, that you might have with your own grandma or your own mother, how much you love her, how you would give your life to protect her. And you have this relationship with these things we are told are inanimate, cold objects out in the dark of space, or, you know, a dumb rock, you're dumber than a box of rocks. That used to bother me because I have seen spirit in rocks. I have seen living rocks that speak. I have seen those things, and I know they have spirit. I have sat by trees who spoke to me, to my heart, and I've cried tears because I couldn't believe it. For one thing, I believed the trees could speak always in the rocks, but I didn't know I had the capacity to hear it. So I want you to know, red, yellow, black, or white, you have the capacity to hear it. If through these native ways we do simple ceremony, there's no demons or hopping around a fire at night with a scalping hatchet. It's not like that. You feel the comfort of the darkness, knowing that's a reality. It's okay. We're okay. And you know, they used to worry about bad medicine that people put on us. They put on us all the time. That's why we use sage. It helps to unhook from those negative things. But we know that we're guided through this by that light that can come in the darkness. The Holy Spirit of Christ, the way, the Tao, the way. The flow of energy in this world, in this universe. And so I've allowed myself to be so much more than standing before you, because I feel connected to the heavenly blood bodies. And Mother Earth's relatives are, I'm going to tell you, are the closest to her right now. They've been in human existence. That we know, recorded human. So if you're feeling convoluted, out of sorts, or just different energy, know that it's not just you. You are being influenced by forces throughout the cosmos. You know, we feel so insignificant sometimes, but you're all very significant. And you were brought here, you were dreamed here by your ancestors. You were brought into existence from a prayer 7 generations ago. So if you feel awakened and don't know what to do, just trust the process of life and live your life in accordance to the values and the virtues of the faith that you have and the truths you know to be true within yourself, that the Holy Spirit is real, that it premates everything, and that you are worthwhile beyond measure just as you are, with your brokenness, with your tiredness, with your pains, mental, emotional, and physical. You're perfect the way you are. Those things were brought for you to have a cathartic moment. Maybe much the way the world did yesterday when they saw a Vietnam vet exhibit that ability to stand in the face of adversity, singing his song without malice towards a young man in front of him. We look at them like that, even police, when they're standing in front of us, like children. I, as an older man, have had to change my life. It's not easy. I'm in a situation that I always did this way or that way. But now I say, I really want to be different. That means not having the indulgence of doing what I've always done. That may have brought me pleasure or comfort in the past. Now, because of faith and knowing that doing the same things over and over and expecting different results has not worked for me. And to me, that is my definition of insanity. When we do the same things, and you can look around at all these other places, we're doing the same things and expecting it to be different. So I'm here doing the same things I've done, and I know it's different. So I want to offer this song, and I'm wondering, since your butts might be getting tired, if you want to stand up, if we could please have Sierra and Fidel in the center, and if we could offer this new family, I want to welcome this baby Zion from this place I have to talk at this time. If we can come in the middle of the aisle, that people, I've seen you do it here, and it's made me cry, and it's been so powerful how you can put that love. You are all healers. You got to know that. Come around them. Gather around them, congregation, family of prayerful people. I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to blow this eagle whistle and pray as you offer your prayers. As a common man, all I can do is say, we can do this together. We got a spiritual strength. All you got to do is let it out. Just put it out. Don't be afraid. Touch that shoulder in front of you. It's by virtue of contact and by proximity of your sacred holy bodies that right there is a configuration of power, spiritual connection. So at this time, while I sing this song, you can all pray and hold each other up for this new child who is the future and all your children's. Let it be emblematical of your own children. And let it be emblematical of that beautiful Holy Spirit inside of you that's like a child. And we'll pray for all these babies new. At this time, I'm going to sing this song, and I'm going to ask for you to pray with me.